If it's 6 p.m. on a Thursday, that means it's time for Lehigh Valley Discourse here on WDIY 88.1 FM, WDIY.org, and our WDIY app. And we start off with Perspectives with John Pierce. My guest this evening is Greg Huber, who has a what I consider to be an unusual passion. He is a barn and house historian, independent scholar, consultant, principal owner of Past Perspectives and Eastern Barn Consultants, both historic and cultural resource companies based in Macungie. Greg Huber, since 1974, has specialized in pre-Civil War era house and barn architecture of Holland, Dutch, and Pennsylvania, Swiss, German areas. This is what I find to be a really interesting niche that I hadn't even thought about before I heard you speak over at the Lehigh Valley Historical Museum. Let's give a shout out to Joe and Jill over there and thank them for bringing you in as a speaker. And Greg has documented more than 8,000 vernacular buildings that include more than 5,000 homestead barns. So, Greg, first question, what is a vernacular building?
What is a vernacular building? A vernacular building is, its emphasis is placed on the local expression of a traditional culture or customs that were accumulated through the years. We're talking here in North America in the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. These buildings or vernacular expression, it just doesn't have to be in buildings per se. It could be any piece of material culture, any example of material culture. It can be pottery, it can be ceramics, it can be furniture, a vernacular expression. They were not designed per se by an architect or any other professional. The idea of it was conceived from traditional values. Their father or mother or grandfather or grandmother or great-grandparents handed down the tradition to them. These people saw them build or make things in certain ways. Well, I'm going to make what grandma or grandpa made or built. That's a vernacular expression. It comes from an Italian word, vernace, or something close to that, that means place.
Thank you very much. So Greg is author of more than 345 articles on barn and house architecture. He edited and published the first Barn Research Journal from 1991 to 94. He's also co-author of two books, the second edition of The New World Dutch Barn, 2001, and Stone Houses, Traditional Homes of Pennsylvania's Bucks County and Brandywine Valley, 2005. He has also led more than 225 house, barn, and forest and tree tours in the past 45 plus years and presented more than 280 lectures on house and barn architecture. He won the Alice Kenney Award in 1997 and the Allen Noble Board Book Award in 2003, issued by the Pioneer America Society for the best edited book on material culture in North America. Congratulations on those awards, Greg. Greg Huber's 240-page book, The Historic Barns of Southeast Pennsylvania, Architecture and Preservation, 1750 to 1900, was published by Schiffer Publishing in July 2017. It has achieved number one on the Amazon best-selling list in a specific category, vernacular architecture. Now we're back to that word vernacular. He has also been published multiple times in the well-known VAG, Vernacular Architectural Group, newsletter based in Great Britain. On various types of symbols and marks he has discovered in the interiors of barns in southern Pennsylvania. In other publications, 20 or more of his articles have been published on this specific topic. Wow, what a resume. You truly have a passion here, Greg. And you said off the air you've been doing that for 30-plus years.
No, 50 years.
50 years.
It'll be 50 years in October, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm only 40 years old, yeah. Too. That's the interesting thing
about
that.
That's the interesting thing. Our engineer this evening is Peter Blair. Peter, I didn't warn you that we might be interviewing Alan Alda today, did I? Do you get that, Greg? Do you get that from folks?
All the time.
He looks like his brother.
100%.
Yeah.
I've had hundreds of people say that.
So as you're listening to this interview and you're listening to Greg, think Alan Alda. Well, you've been examining and extensively studying old barns in eastern states for nearly 50 years, since the fall of 1974. You started two cultural resource companies, Past Perspectives and Eastern Barn Consultants, in 2001. Later, you became very involved in showcasing many appearances of various marks and symbols, especially in barn interiors. What allowed you to assume a different position from a definite interest in these marks and such for a number of years to an almost all-consuming devotion to symbols and marks that were left in these barns 150 to 250 years ago and what they signified?
Well, I think there's two main reasons why, after I had looked at various symbols and marks in barns for 30, 35 years, two things happened. In 2012, I came across a barn in Upper Hanover Township in Montgomery County. I was on my way to another function, or to a function that I was supposed to lead, a barn tour. And I came across this barn. I had some time, and I looked across, and there was a rosette, a six-pointed rosette, on an original stable wall window shutter. And I said, well, that's interesting. I had never seen that before. These rosettes, or six-pointed stars, are very often seen on the interior of barns, which I think we'll get to in a little bit. But I had never seen one on a shutter. So I got out of my car and went up to the stable wall, and I looked at this shutter, and I said, huh, there's not only just one, but there's two rosettes on two different shutters. And then I opened the shutter, I spun them around, and there were rosettes painted on the inside face of the shutter, which when they were closed, they faced the inside of the basement level of the barn. And I said, from now on, any mark of any kind that I ever see associated with any barn, I'm going to try to take a picture of it, obviously, especially if I have time to do that. And I've been faithful to that, and that was almost 12 years ago. So I've done that. Although prior to 2012, I had seen thousands of these marks, but it didn't really hit home. And I had actually written a few articles on that, but that single experience really catapulted me, so to speak, over the top of that. The other occurrence that had happened was at around that time, and I had been reading Carl Jung, this was a psychologist, for many years, and a book that he had written, but there's a long history to that. But anyway, we'll call it the Red Book, came out a few years before that. And in one of his passages, he talks about this. Now, I'm going to read this to you. He talks about the way to the self, and he talks about symbols. He says, I am of the opinion, Jung argued, that the union of rational and irrational truth is to be found not so much in art as in the symbol per se, for it is the essence of the symbol to contain both the rational and the irrational. Symbols, he maintained, stemmed from the unconscious, and the creation of symbols was the most important function of the unconscious. While the compensatory function of the unconscious was always present, the symbol-creating function was present only when we were willing to recognize it. Here we see him continuing to eschew viewing his productions as art. It was not art, but symbols, which were of paramount importance here to him at that point. There's many, many things that Carl Jung, over a 60-year period of what he did with psychology and the human psyche, he produced and wrote many, many books. I can't get into that too much here because it's just too complex and too involved. But he deeply involved me. He wrote a book called Man and His Symbols. And I have the book, and that was given to me maybe 15 or 20 years ago. So anyway, those two things, those two shutters that had the rosettes, and then the in conjunction with Carl Jung's discussion about the symbol, meant a great deal to me. So for that time, for about 12 years now, it's really been very important to me.
Do you consider the marks and symbols as a distinct part of material culture, that is, the physical objects that German and English Americans in southeastern Pennsylvania created in the 1650 to 1900 era?
So your question is, do I consider the symbols and marks, most especially on the interior of barns, do I consider that part of material culture?
Correct.
Material culture is the materials or the physical objects that any traditional, or even beyond that, modern culture or customs will produce, okay? And yes, I do. I consider that a separate entity or a type of material culture. There's architecture, there's ceramics, there's furniture, there's a number of different kinds or genre of material culture. And this has hardly been written about at all. And going through these things in the past number of years, I would say especially in the past 4 to 6 years, it is truly astonishing the level and the amount of symbols and carvings and paintings on the interior of barns that have occurred that's still out there. We've lost a tremendous amount of barns in southeast Pennsylvania, but to get into barns, you have to meet an owner, a homeowner, a barn owner of the property, engage him in conversation, get permission to go in. Many of these barns are filled with all kinds of objects and manner of use of the farm and just other stuff. And other things, other objects. And to really see this clearly is very difficult. And I think that's one reason why it really has hardly been seen or studied at all. If you look at the literature, then you'll see that hardly anything has been written. Now, a number of things have been written on barns in the past maybe 30 to 35 years, although not really that much even there. But as an entity, as a distinct thought or belief or orientation, yes, I believe it is a very distinctive part of material culture.
My guest this evening on Perspectives is Greg Huber, who has a passion for symbols and marks on barn exteriors and interiors. Greg, did you grow up on a farm? Is that what draws you to barns?
No, I did not grow up on a farm or a homestead. My grandmother had a homestead, an old farmhouse in northern Jersey. I lived in northern Jersey, and she lived in the Nyack area of Rockland County. She had a 14-acre place, and that might have been a stimulus. I certainly remember that when I was about 7 or 8 years old, to the side of the driveway, I created this path, but I had to dig up the earth, and looking back on it, I was very close to soil and the earth, and I wanted to be in touch with that. It must have been something like a personal, well, that's a good way of putting it, a collective unconscious, my own consciousness that Carl Jung had spoken about. But no, I had not done that. My connection to farms and barns are actually through trees and forests and wood, and that's because all these barns are timber-framed. And what do you find inside barns? You find timbers that came from trees. And that was the origin of that, I believe.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, you've given how many tours of not just of barns and of man-made things, but of the trees and
of
forests.
Of trees, yes. And, yes, I have.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So a big passion of yours. It's time for us to take a break now on Perspectives. I'm John Pierce, your host. Our engineer is Peter Blair, and we invite you to stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY members have exclusive access to our weekly member ticket giveaway. That's a new drawing every week for the best events the Lehigh Valley has to offer. Concerts, festivals, film screenings, theater performances, and more. Last year, WDIY gave away over 2,000 tickets to our members, so don't miss your chance. Become a WDIY member today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit wdiy.org.
Are you staying out with the old, in with the new when it comes to your old car? WDIY's vehicle donation program will turn your ride into your favorite programs on Lehigh Valley Public Radio. The towing is free, all the paperwork is taken care of, and your gift is tax deductible. For more information, call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit wdiy.org.
Various symbols and marks on barn exteriors and interiors is our topic this evening. I'm John Pierce, your host. My guest is Greg Huber, who has a passion for, I guess, Greg, we could say the outdoors, earth, nature. And then from there symbols that people use as they build their own houses and barns and whatnot. Where exactly do you find these marks and symbols, and how do you get permission even to look at these things?
Well, the answer to that is I first want to say that there's certainly so-called hex signs on the exteriors of these barns, and that's not my major focus today. Many people in Southeast Pennsylvania have been by a number of barns through the years, and the term hex sign certainly is pretty well known to most people, to many people that I meet when I give my talks, or I'll mention the word hex sign and they'll know that. When I say barn star, though, especially in reference to buildings on their exteriors, on barns on their exteriors, then there's a barn stars. What is that exactly? But hex signs, they do know. And that didn't come in until 1924. But in any event, I get permission from the owners, and I said, I'm here to survey your barn and record it to whatever degree I am. Sometimes I go through these barns, not only in my professional life with Eastern Barn Consultants, I do it just because a barn may interest me. But what happens is that there's three different main places for finding these various marks. And that is the so-called mousestead walls, the vertical walls that front or flank, rather, the wagon bays, okay? Close to doors especially, there's a lot of these incised marks, carvings, and scribings of these marks. I find it on mousestead wallboards. I also find them on the interiors of granaries. The granaries are where grain was stored, of course, in the grain compartment bins. And they will very often have these marks and things. They start to peter out or not be that prevalent in barns after about 1870 or 1880, but I can still find them there. The other part is on stable wall doors, and they'll show up there. Those are the three main areas.
And what kinds of markings are they?
So there are four or five main markings. There are rosettes, what a lot of people would call hex signs. Now, this image that I'm showing you now, of course, they can't see it here, the audience, that's a rosette. It's a six-pointed star, and very often they show up on these mousestead wallboards, not so much in the granaries, but on the mousestead walls. They also show up on the exterior of barns, too. We find these rosettes. We also find concentric circles, and that is the image on the bottom here. We'll find anywhere from two or three concentric circles. I call them concentric circle marks, up to as many as 19. I found a 19 concentric circle mark in a mill built in the 1850s, about three or four years ago, in eastern Berks County. Yes, it was an amazing thing. Not only that, there was a bonus mark where there was a rosette in the middle of the concentric mark.
Are these marks put there by folks in the barns purely for decorative?
No. They're to ward away evil. There's a term called apotropaic, and that means to ward away evil, basically. It's a Greek word. It first meant to ward away. You could ward away anything. Like Mondays when you first have to go to work and you're eager for TGIF Friday. The word actually segued into meaning to ward away evil. And this is the thing that I've learned so much about in the last 12 years. I've read now maybe about 15 or 20 books on this topic, and the idea of symbols being incised in so many buildings in Europe, in England especially, because that's where the most work has been done. There's been tens and tens of thousands of marks found in cathedrals and churches and everything, and very often they were to ward away evil. I'm just giving you a thumbnail sketch of what I can say about this stuff. It goes far deeper than that. But these markings are all over Europe. They're in Asia. We know more about them in Europe because they've been studied a lot more. The other marks found on these walls are hearts. There's one swastika, a whirling swastika. I don't have a representation of that. And also diamond marks that are supposed to be fertility marks. And that is a different one. I found a carving on a timber in the DeLisle Log Schweitzer near Toronto in Canada. And it looks like this. Of course, you can't see that again on our interview here. But it's like a large V. This is on the vertical face of a log, a vertical V. And then an inverted V, and then two circles below that. So it was very interesting. I had never seen anything like that.
Speaking of that, Do you have an all-time favorite barn that has more symbols or more important symbols than any other single barn?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very, very definitely. My favorite barn is a barn not in southeastern Pennsylvania, meaning east of the Susquehanna River, but west of the Susquehanna River in Franklin County. This barn was built probably in the era of about 1790 to 1800. And this barn is remarkably original. It's about 90 to 95% original, both on the upper floor level and the basement. But it has marks and carvings and notches and this, that, and the other thing galore. They're all over the place. And so that is a all-time favorite barn for me. There was also a barn blessing card that was found in, and you may have seen this last year at my talk. This was a card that was found underneath a floorboard on an end bay in a barn near Kutztown. And it has seven lines. And let me just read a little bit of this. It has seven lines of marks. It says, "Help success come to our barn and stock, horses and cows." And then there's, on the third line, there's a hieroglyphic type of marking. And also on the seventh line, the biggest line or the widest line is the middle line. And there's an image of the moon, the sun, what's called a trine, and two or three other symbols of Jupiter and Saturn. And then below that it says, "Success and good health come to all of our stock." And then another hieroglyphic line. So that was one of the greatest things that I've ever come across. The owner of that barn was doing some repair work, and he lifted up some boards that had to be replaced, and he found this enveloped in a lead covering. And lead also goes back to ancient times about all these kinds of symbols and things and everything. So there's a lot of things that tie in.
Even though you're saying that the symbols are put there to ward away evil spirits, they're really very decorative, too.
Yes, they are.
People who yes. just like to see hex signs like me. I would put one on my house, and I don't have any intention that there are any evil spirits around.
Right. Well, that's an interesting way of looking at things. But the thing of it is that on the inside of the barn, these things were basically a barn blessing. It was all kinds of things that had conjured up. Don't forget, this is an age before the airplane, certainly before the TV, before the radio. So, you know, all these things, you know, science wasn't that pronounced by about 1900, even 1880, 1890. And still people had the yips. They didn't know what was going to infiltrate the clear operation of their farms. And this is tradition. This came back. I've found these barn marks and signs and symbols in barns going back to the 1780s, not before that. And we've lost a tremendous amount of barns. And who knows what was put in these barns back in the 1720s and 30s and 40s.
Of course.
We don't know that, but they're not there anymore. So we don't know what was put in there precisely.
Made out of wood. It disappears
easily.
Well,
carved
easily.
Into wood. Yes.
So 1780 or so is the oldest that you found.
Yeah, about 1780, yes, that's right. Up until about 1910 or so.
Greg Huber is talking to us about barn markings, among which are hex signs, which many of us are familiar with, especially in this part of Pennsylvania, but not so much other symbols and other marks. Greg, you're continuing to do your research and going around and finding more symbols and
all
marks
the time.
And everything?
All the time. Yeah. I was in a barn just before Christmas of last year, and I found an amazing arrangement of what I'm calling punch holes on a granary door that in the top 15 inches, there was like a demarcation line, and all these punch marks were above that and nothing below it on the exterior face of this granary door. Now, I had never seen anything like that. Why was that there? And I wrote an article about that, and that'll be out in a few months.
Did you come to a conclusion why that is?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I can look at a lot of these marks and have a fair interpretation, or a very good even interpretation of them, but not that one. I had never seen it, so I have nothing to compare it with, and how would I know what it really means? Or even things rather remotely connected with that. They're just not around.
When you approach people who have a barn that has markings and you want to study them, do you get information from those barn owners? Do they know anything
no,
about the past?
No, I've been in barns where people have owned the barns. There's a woman, oh, south of Lenhartsville in Berks County. And I can remember being in there back several years ago. And I asked to get into her barn. She said, sure, fine. And on a Mousestead wall were several markings. And I went back to her and I said, you know, you have some really interesting stuff here. I led her into the barn and I showed her the marks. She had lived there 50 to 60 years, as I just said, and she never knew it was there.
Yes, right in front of our noses, huh?
Well, you gotta look.
Well, how about this question? Do you have one or two fervent wishes that concern these marks and symbols in coming years?
Well, I hope the barns keep standing so I can go into them and record them and see what's there. I've done about 30 articles now on barn stars and hex signs, and it's been very interesting, but I continue to find new things. And the last four or five articles that I've written for overseas publication, I keep finding them, and I've never found them in other places. So the broad overall expression of these marks in various barns finds a lot of different expression. And you don't know what you're going to find. I found in a barn in the Olley Valley in Berks County, I found door latches nailed onto the front wall of a barn without any door there. And the title of the article was "When Door Latches Don't Function as Door Latches." And I had never seen anything like that before.
Do you presume they were decorations?
Well, no, they weren't decorations at all. They were functional in the sense of either trying to ward away evil because they were metal. And the devil, by the way, evil forces hate metal.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, that's
in
good
a very
to know.
Big way.
Well, so our listeners will yes. take that to heart.
Yes.
Greg, I'd like for you to tell us how folks might get in touch with you if they see barn markings or have them in their own properties or would like to chat with you about it or what? How did they
get
in touch?
Well, I mean, if anybody has a barn and they're willing to let me know about their barn and they're okay with my getting into the barn, they could contact me at greg@easternbarns.com. I'll repeat that. It's greg@eastern, like the direction, barns, plural, BARNS.com. And you can go on my website, and that's www.easternbarns.com. I have information there, and it's easy to get hold. I have my phone number there. Anybody can call me and let me know if I to chat or to get into the barn itself. And I'd be happy to talk to anybody about any findings that I come across.
Well, dear listeners, you know this is a man with a passion here. So get in touch with him if you have high interest in barn markings. We've come to the end of our time here on Perspectives. John Pierce here with our engineer, Peter Blair, and Greg Huber. We thank you so much for coming over to our microphones and sharing your knowledge with us.
Thank you for inviting me today.
Yes, sir. And dear listeners, thank you for tuning in. Until we meet again, remember to be gentle with your neighbor. Stay tuned now for more Lehigh Valley Discourse.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to the WDIY website or app to share or become a WDIY member.